Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Final hour, fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to all of you for turning it on and leaving it on. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider who was living at the Ford Center in Frisco yesterday, Bobby Bell. We got Peyton and Carter in the back. And the way to hit us up, I want to hear from you about this press conference. Did it change your mind? Did it make you angrier at Jerry and Steven? Hit us up at 877-881-1053. One of the things before yesterday, I think we were all universal with, all of us. Okay, I'll give Schottenheimer, you know, a chance as head coach, but don't call plays as well. And I'm texting Bobby Bell and tweeting and said, ask the damn question. Somebody ask if Witten's going to be on the staff and if Brian is calling the plays. I did not realize that the media order was based upon seating rule.
I had no idea. I never would. See, and this is another thing. Like, this should not be open seating. This should be based on seniority. Okay? This should be based on when you go to the White House press, I mean, they have you sitting in the same spot every time, right? It's the same spot. And sometimes they know who they're calling on first because it's the person in the middle.
So
I've seen Deep Impact. I know exactly what happened.
So here's how it works. They're all up front. In that front row, the way it works is you just put your hand up, and then Tad Carper, the Cowboys PR director, who announced yesterday, told everybody he's cancer-free. Awesome news. Great to hear for Tad. Love
very
that.
Very nice.
He has this list that basically people put up their hands. And so the people right in the front, he sees them instantly. So it's like, okay, all right, let me stack them up. And then it's after that, he's having to spot a hand. So it just naturally kind of filters back until hands are going down.
Well, Jerry did the job for many media members because he was just picking off like he was hunting squirrel, saying, I know that criticism. Bam. I know that you said I'm scared to take risk, which, by the way, Jerry's saying he's taken more risks the last 5 years than like his entire life. What has been the football risk? I would love to have that in a one-on-one interview follow-up.
Does he just count it as money?
Yeah.
Does he count money as his risk?
Yeah.
So it was all the,
does, yeah.
I paid two DAC contracts. I paid
Absolutely.
One to CD. I guess that.
I would think that is because, I mean, the way he would look at it, like, that's his biggest liabilities.
Jerry knew that he was criticized for lack of a search, being too conservative, this not being risky, the general manager hate that he gets, salary cap, all those things. And he just answered the play caller question himself.
We wanted Brian to call the plays. We cherish his relationship with our players. We want him to call the plays. As my mind and our mind would drift around to alternatives, I believe he doesn't have to speak for this, but I believe if he doesn't call the plays, he probably not with the Cowboys. He doesn't have to speak to that, and he probably might not know himself, really. I'm not in any way talking down. But I know one thing, one of us, I think Jerry, said, have you ever thought about that if we've kind of gotten over in this area of potential head coaching with Brian? To some degree, the conversation he's referring to. And Jerry said, you know something, if we went that way, as much as we've gone down the path, there'd be some heartbreak here. There'd be some knock the slats out from under. I'm just giving you an idea of how the process was going as we were looking at alternatives of other people that might be coaching the Dallas Cowboys. And Brian calling the plays. All of this was in the mind. That's all of this was there. And why is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Landman, second act with Jerry getting emotional. Let's hear from the Tolos. Jake and McKinney, start us off. You are live on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. So I'm excited about Schottenheimer. It feels like he's going to get the best skills and abilities out of these guys and work with them instead of them working towards his knowledge and skills and abilities. But I really think it's going to be great. And I really don't think Mike McCarthy gave us his best effort last year. So I look forward to seeing what he could do. I'll let you guys talk. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call. Bobby asked in the commercial break, he's like, well, so at the end of the day, what I tweeted yesterday, I left that presser feeling more concerned about Jerry and Steven than Brian as a first-year coach. What Steven did with the quotes, Jerry, the lack of search, or salary cap experts, I am more concerned about them helping Brian than Brian having never done this before. Gary in New Mexico, listening on the Odyssey app. Gary, you're up next.
Hey, man, I agree with what you just said. I have more confidence in Brian Schottenheimer than I do in the Joneses, and I'm willing to give the guy a chance, man. Maybe I love an underdog story, and this guy's an underdog story, so I'm rooting for him. And I like what he said, but Jerry and Steven, I don't understand. I don't speak idiot language, and that's what they speak, and I just don't understand what Jerry's talking about. And if I never saw Steven again, that would be too soon. When you get up there and start bragging about being the sixth winningest team, I don't know what that's about, but they just need to reassign him to the mail room or something. Get him out of there. But if they'll let Brian run the show, I mean, to a certain extent, I know you got to deal with Jerry, but give him the tools to succeed, man. Go give him some players.
Yeah.
And give him a shot and go get it, son. Go see what he can do.
Thanks for the call. What did you make of the whole salary cap stuff? Same old, same old.
Yeah.
We know the cap. Now, mm-hmm. Some people are trying to
Can't have it all.
Some people are trying to hear that they might reevaluate the way that they do it. I didn't really get that. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was just a throw-in statement to make people feel better.
Yeah, I thought it was their same general comments on the salary cap that they've had for the last decade. I thought it was pretty much similar. But I will say, when he talks about if they let Brian Schottenheimer be Brian Schottenheimer, I think everybody seemed surprised by the fact that Schottenheimer was able to convincingly say, if you're going to give me this job, I'm calling plays and win that battle potentially. So I would hope that if he's able to win on that front, I would hope he would similarly stand firm on, if I want to instill this culture that I want, you got to let me do things the way I want to do them.
Jay in Plano, you're up next on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, guys. I love you guys. I've been listening to y'all for a long time. So look here. Riddle me this. Who says this? Let the mind control the body, let the body control the mind.
Jimmy.
God, ooh, is Jimmy Chuck? Yes, sir. Truth be told, you know, optimism, pessimism, whatever. I feel like the Dallas Cowgirls need to be practicing in the heat in Texas in the summertime, and that's going to perhaps get us over the edge.
Thanks.
They tried that in Wichita Falls with Dave Campo. It didn't work.
Tried what?
Practicing in the heat.
You know, the Patriots had a dynasty practicing in those brutal New England summers.
I mean, honestly, I feel like the bigger issue for this team usually is playing in cold weather than it is.
Yeah.
I would like to ask Brian how he feels like he's similar to Marty coaching style-wise. Because Marty was, you know, thought to be a hard ass who won an S ton of games. Gustavo in Dallas, you're next up on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Go ahead, boss.
Tolos, good morning. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'm coming in with a whole bunch of optimistic after I watched that interview in its entirety. I tell you what, man, his energy, his the way he spoke, the way Jerry spoke on behalf of how he got to this point, brought some hope back into me for next year even. And I'll finish off with this saying that the biggest hope that I got inspired by was when I heard the interview with Mrs. Shoddy, his mom. She said, we've been teaching him X's and O's since he was 9 years old. And she was super excited. After I finished watching the interview, I was like, let's go, Cowboys. DC4L for life, baby.
All right, so
phone call, guys.
There it is. You got a Cowboy fan back. You got one kind of turning that corner back towards that love of the star. Let's get to Austin in Florida. Whoa. Odyssey app. Austin, good morning. What's up?
What's up? What's up? Yeah, so I'm realistically optimistic about this. I think it's going to be kind of the same old, maybe we win 10, maybe we win 12, go to the playoffs, and then kind of. But what's frustrating, what I'm pessimistic about is, so I'm in Florida, the Jags sucked really bad when I was a kid, and I saw 2006, Bill Parcells, Terrell Owens, Tony Romo, this is bigger than life show. And we are like a shell of that. Like, we, it's completely the opposite of exciting and fun and what's going to happen next and winning. It's just like, and it feels like the Nets never going to end when Jerry goes eventually and then Steven. It's just like, what are we doing here? I'm never going to quit because it's too much fun, but it's becoming less fun. I'll put it that way.
Thanks, Austin. How about the introduction of co-owner Steven Jones? That had a lot of people noticing that change yesterday, or has it been a change?
I guess there hasn't been a press conference where Steven would have been introduced like that recently. But I had
heard, I don't remember any introductions
that,
ever.
That actually changed in the media guide, I guess, last year. So it's a new, but it's a new note. He's referred to as co-owner. That hasn't always been the case.
Did you get any feeling from Steven? Jerry clearly has heard the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get any of that feeling from Steven, or he just didn't talk enough to know?
Yeah, I think Steven hears it too. I think Steven was not blinking at it as much, but I think I got the sense all three of them heard it. I thought Schottenheimer referenced it a couple times, is kind of subtly.
But the problem with that is, like, the Schottenheimer criticism isn't necessarily directed at him. Like, some of it is, like, you know, like what, like it's a guy that has been completely out of the loop in terms of the coaching searches, but nobody. I feel bad for him yet. Like, I really do. I feel bad for
Brian. I don't think he believes anyone should feel bad for. I think he thinks I deserve this spot. Like, I absolutely should.
It's not about the deserving of the spot. I feel bad for him because, like, all the attention is over here.
But I think he's talking to you, and I think he's talking to the people who think he can't do it and who think he's an unqualified hire, whether they feel bad for him or are angry with him. He was talking to them and saying a couple different times, fans, you're part of this. It's us. We're doing this.
Jerry and Crowley, you're up next here on 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good morning, guys. Tolo here. This little raised its head yesterday. I mean, it wouldn't matter if we went and dug up Tom Landry, Vince Lombardi, and Don Shula. They can't fix this. Okay? It's not about coaching. It's not about players. It's about be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. Steven put those air quotes up yesterday, the drought. 30 years. Let me tell you something. I watched the Cowboys in the 60s, the 70s. I mean, they were always in contention. They were a number one franchise. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. And Steven is the problem. Everybody kept saying, oh, I can't wait till Jerry gets retired and Steven takes over. We're in trouble, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, over the past 2 weeks, I have shifted my negativity more to Steven after some of the things I've heard behind the scenes. But he'll get the most credit from me if Schottenheimer works out, because I think that's his guy.
He said it, though, yesterday. He said, like Brian, I give deference sometimes. He clearly told you yesterday he and Jerry view things differently in a lot of ways.
Yes. Ignacio in the Bay Area? What?
We're global.
We're global.
Yeah, we're like the pit bull of radio. I mean,
what do you want him to listen to the morning roast? They have no options out there in the Bay Area.
Ignacio, I hope I'm getting that name right. You're live on Sean and RJ.
You guys are outstanding. Hey, blessings to you folks. Okay, I'm up here in Northern California. This is Raider in 49er country up here. Hey, listen, I wake up with you guys in the morning. Outstanding job of just attention to detail, covering everything along the way.
Thank you.
My question is this. As much as it is not a popular choice, we get it. He was a golden opportunity to bring in a big name, a big splash.
Yep.
It didn't happen. At the end of the day, who knew that a young McVay, a young Shanahan, a young LaFleur was going to become what they are today?
No one.
So here's Schottenheimer. What I like about him, okay, and I'm being optimistic as a fan here, let's give this guy a shot. This is not his fault that he was promoted. He has a presence about him. He has an identity of who and what he wants to be and what this team wants, what he wants to build. What have we lacked with our past coaches? You could ask a fan and say, okay, what is our identity in offense? We couldn't answer it.
Yeah.
So I like the idea. I'm going to give this guy an opportunity to come in, whether he's going to last a year or two and it's going to be, you know, and we're going to move on in a different direction, or maybe he comes in and he not only, he commanded the room in the press conference, I thought. He sounded confident, I should say. And I just really like the vibe.
Thank you, brother. We gotta get a Nick Eatman here. What's wrong?
This is the problem.
I told you.
This is the problem. It's so easy just to get sucked back in. It's just so easy.
Hang on, let him go. I want to hear what he says.
It's so easy. I mean, it was vitriol 48 hours ago, and now it's, oh, man, this is amazing. I love this guy. He's great. We don't know. We have no idea. That's the point. We don't know. But it's just so easy to get sucked back in.
Right. So isn't the rational take the one that every single caller just called in with was, I'm going to give him a shot? That is what we don't know. That was their take. A couple days ago, their take was just, there's nothing possibly the emotional reaction.
A shot. But there's nothing. There's nothing you should be excited about. You can't use the word excited. You cannot use the word excited. A shot, fine.
You're usually the most optimistic person, and you are angry, you're frustrated, you're bitter. What is up with you?
Settle down just a little bit.
2025, baby. New year,
new job,
new me. Toxic Ralph.
Ever since Monday, he's just been acting like garbage.
Nick Eatman sat down with Shoddy one-on-one. He says this hire is more about the things you can't see. And is Jason Witten coaching this staff or not? Is he joining the staff or not? Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com after this. Let's bring in our old buddy who is at the Ford Center of the Star in Frisco alongside Bobby Belt. He is Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline. We'll cross talk with the KMC Masterpiece at 9:40 this morning. Good morning, Nicholas. How have you been?
I've been doing good, guys. Good to be on with you again.
This high.
Sounded like Steven, didn't it?
You did. Good to be on with you. Did you air quote it?
No. I did not. I did not air quote it. He did that a couple times, didn't he?
What was up? He knows what air quotes are and mean, right?
Yeah. It did remind me of like a Friends episode with Joey doing the air quotes. But it is a drought. I mean, you know, it's a Super Bowl drought. And so I think that's probably why he might have been doing the air quotes is because, I mean, you know, the drought usually is, you know, a lack of water. This is a lack of Super Bowls, but either way, it's a drought that people, you know, still refer to every day.
The title of your column, DallasCowboys.com, is "This Hire is More About the Things You Can't See." What does that mean?
Well, you know, I'm like everyone else. I'm not going to sit here and say like, oh, I this is a great hire. I knew it all along. I mean, I was surprised. I didn't have him on the radar. And you're looking at, you know, the success or lack of success with you know, X's and O's, play call, production, all that stuff. It's not there as much. It's not there as some of the other hires. I get that. Everyone knows that. But the things that the Jerry and Steven and the people here in this building, they've gotten to know him. They see him. They're big on leadership, big on character, big on culture. Those are things you can't see. That's what they believe. And they believe that this guy's going to make it happen. And you know, he was successful yesterday. Well, I thought, you know, can you win a press conference? Well, he did. But those aren't the wins that matter. I know that. We all know that. But I thought, you know, he did a nice job yesterday. It looks like character, culture, those are the things you can't see. Those are the things I think he did really well. But does it translate to wins? Obviously, is the biggest thing.
What have been your interactions with Schottenheimer? What have you heard about him behind the scenes? And what did you get from your sit-down with him one-on-one?
Yeah. Well, you know, what I like about him a lot, if he did, he didn't admit it, but he didn't lie in the press conference yesterday either. So I was like, he's like a straight shooter for sure. And he's genuine. And at least that's the way it comes off. Here's one of the things that when he said, you know, you win with people, and we've heard Jason Garrett say that, and I'm a believer of that. I think we all are, you know, you win with people the way you carry yourself. One of the things that stood out to me, it happened at least four times, two to me, which maybe is because I asked a bad question. I don't know. But there was four times that I saw yesterday where he actually disagreed with the question. Well, you know, it's not really like that. Or I don't really look at it that way. But he did it in a way that, you know, that's not easy for people to do. They say, no, that's not right. You know, but it's how you handle people, how you handle conversations, how you handle deference, you know, which is what came up. So I thought that was interesting. I asked a couple of questions, and he was like, it's actually more like this and this and this, and not in a way that is disrespectful tone or anything. That might be a small thing to some, but I think it's a big thing when you're talking about how do you handle conflict, how do you handle disagreement, things like that, and just kind of knowing how to massage the situation. So that was a small thing, but that's something that I picked up on that I thought was it could be a bigger deal. I enjoyed my talk with him. He knows this business. I think he's going to be easy to work with. Easier. Let's see what happens when, you start losing games and all that kind of stuff. Or just when things happen. But I think he's going to be easier to work with. He just kind of gets this culture, this situation. I think he's going to be good for our team, social media, be good for you guys. So from that standpoint, I think it's good.
Trey Wingo, by the way, tweeted that Brian Schottenheimer, just out of curiosity, drove to the ESPN studios one day just to see how they kind of do everything.
Yeah.
To try to look at their perspective, the way they're coming across from the media standpoint. I thought that was a really cool story for Wingo to share.
And that's probably the same time because we have a media consultant that works with us as well that has some experience with ESPN, and I'm sure that's probably where they cross paths as well. And so it's the details. It's the attention to details. It reminds me of the Jordan Lewis press conference or media session when he said details about 50 times. But it seems like he's a master of details. Those things, matter. When we did our interview, he had to make sure his tie was right twice, But he also said, this is probably the last time I'm going to wear a tie. Jerry and Steven didn't have one on, so, I'm ditching this thing. But, but one of those things where, I think you introduce him once, I think he knows your name the second time. I believe that. And so nobody's ever, like I said, win a press conference or whatever. That hasn't led to wins and all that kind of stuff. But I still believe that he's got some success coming just by the way he kind of carries himself.
Nick Eatman joining us here at 105 Through the Fan. By the way, us in the Lion community don't really consider Mike to have lied in that statement. That was just a non-truth.
The Lion community?
Yes, the Lion community. We're a community now, Sean.
Well, it went 30 minutes. Yeah, I have a personal rule about that. You can be joking around for 30 minutes. I was just joking. But after 30 minutes, it becomes a lie. So, that's kind of the way I always handle it. Yeah. You can play a game and joke all that about 30 minutes.
The Lion community is a pride, by the way.
We're a pride. Yeah, we're a pride. It's a non-truth.
Yes.
Non-truth. Not a lie, non-truth. But is his biggest hurdle from a culture standpoint going to be changing the perception of him as going from like, hey, I'm like a friend of the player. I'm a go-between to now being the head coach and maybe not having and having to have a different set of boundaries?
I think that's a question I tried to ask him about comfort and that's a good question, Chop, because to me, I look at that as like, all right, yes, you can be friends of the players, you can be a player's coach, but what happens when I've got to get on you and say, hey, this is not how we're doing things, and from the things that I've heard and that they haven't come out yet, but I do think he's trying to kind of implement some things, some different positions on the staff, just different things to try to help with that. I think they understand that, it's a tricky thing. If he said something about treating all the players the same, whether you're a role player or a superstar, that one's tricky to me because I don't think you do treat players the same. They don't get paid the same. They don't play the same amount. They don't practice the same. And so that they don't have the same amount of pressure. I don't think you treat them the same, but I think you treat them with the same umbrella over the top, and then every circumstance is different. It's the same with having kids. You have to treat your kids differently. So that's something I think he'll figure that out too along the way.
Nick, yesterday there was a lot of all three of them, Steven, Jerry, Brian, they all mentioned disagreements that Schottenheimer had schematically with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Do you think that those were those differences played up a little bit to kind of emphasize change? Or do you think they actually maybe kind of downplayed and gave a conservative view of what were some real differences that the two of them had by the end?
Well, I just think the fact that he's here as the head coach is, and this is the first time I've actually stuttered this point, so hopefully it comes out right. But the fact that he's the head coach makes me think that they saw the differences all along, that a lot of people did. Because you think about it, he's the head coach, and he's the offensive coordinator, and it's not exactly working out well. And so they're going to say, all right, let's move on from the head coach, or however that happened, however that went down. And then we're going to go with the other guy that was here as well. Because a lot of times you would look at it and say, wait a second. You know, like everyone says how prepared Schottenheimer is in the details, which I just mentioned. Well, this team didn't score a touchdown in the first quarter for like 16 of the 17 games. Mm. You know, they didn't score a touchdown in the third quarter either. So, you know, where's the preparation coming out of the locker room all week long? So, again, the fact that they're saying, all right, it's not the head coach and the play caller, but we're going to make this move to go here, makes me think that they believe there was a lot of difference in the way that they thought and in the way they prepared things on offense last year.
Nick, how is this staff looking like it's going to shake out? Are we going to see a Jason Witten addition? I know there's a lot of buzz about Matt Eberflus. What can you tell us about the staff?
It does seem like the Eberflus thing is happening. I know there was some play there for Robert Sala at the end, but it you know, he obviously went to San Francisco. Sorensen, that seems like that one was, from last I heard, was close. You got to remember too, and social media can be the devil, and we know that. But you know, no one asked Emmitt Smith to play wide receiver. Okay, and the reason why I say that is this guy Sorensen is getting judged on how things went as a defensive coordinator, defensive coach in San Francisco. He's a special teams coach. I think that's what he's played a lot of in when he was tenured in the league. I think he's had more success as a special teams coach. So when you hear 49er fans or whatever, you know, laughing, saying, oh, okay, good. That's not what he's not going to be the defensive coordinator. If he's here, he'll be the special teams coach. I do not think Jason Witten will be on the staff. I don't think that's going to happen. And it did look like a time that it might, but, you know, I still think you're going to see Eberflus, one of us. I still think you're going to see two or three familiar faces coming back to this staff this year.
At the end of all this, how shocked were you that they actually did it? And do you have more questions about the person or the process?
I think the process. I mean, the person, you know, I think he's genuine. I think he is what he is. But that doesn't always win games. It's the process. You've got to figure out, you know, like, and I know this is getting compared a lot to Dave Campo, because he was a guy that was here in the building and all that. The biggest the problem that Campo had was that he had a third of the salary cap, you know, tied up in dead money. He had cap problems and he didn't have a quarterback. That was the two big issues there. So my point is that he's going to have the players. He's going to have to, you know, they're going to have to figure that out. But I do think that he's the right guy. But there's a lot of right guys out there that just doesn't work out for them. So yeah, I would say the process. And then to answer your question, I'm very shocked. I'm very shocked that they did this. I mean, when I looked at our list, we did a list on our website, 20 names to look at. I thought maybe we were kind of just being nice by putting Zimmer, Fossil, and Schottenheimer in there.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was a realistic candidate. I really didn't. Again, this goes back to the article I wrote and what we said at the top. These are about the things you don't see. We don't see behind the closed doors. We don't see how he's you know, the relationships that he's built and just the way he talks to the players and the way the players seem to respect him. So, you know, those are things you can't see. And you know, we'll see if they relate to wins.
Thank you, brother. Good to catch up. We'll do it again soon.
Definitely. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
The man, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Go check out his column and a sit-down one-on-one with Brian Schottenheimer on the website. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece next.
PJ, who's already had two sensational rack attacks, going to drop the shoulder and drive. Dribble handoff. Quarter.
Follow up with a call. Mavs TV. Clay hits 7 threes. Scores 2 points the rest of the way. Didn't need much more as they destroy the horrific Washington Wizards. It's Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. Where's Kevin? We got therapy.
I don't know. His phone rang.
I have therapy tomorrow, so I'm out tomorrow for a crosstalk.
Okay. His phone rang, and he told Mike to shut the F up and then walked out of the room and said, hello.
Portland radio.
I got a phone call from Oregon right before he did, so maybe they were calling me. I'm not answering.
I just got a call from like somebody saying, is this Infancy Outdoors LLC? And I was like, no.
Did you know it was a spam call? And
no, I don't think it was a spam call. I think whoever Infancy Outdoors LLC gave the wrong number to this probably collections. I don't
very scarcely answer the phone if I don't know the number.
How long?
I'm not like choppy.
How long do you give the spam person to lay out their pitch, and how do you ultimately end the call? Oh. I would love to hear from Basic.
So I tick off people all the time. For some reason, because me and my dad have the same name, I probably get a call once every 2 weeks at least. I might maybe even be once a week if I would like to sell the house in Arlington, which it's not my house. And I go, that's where my parents live, and I will make them homeless if you give me $2 million.
Would you buy them a house with that money?
Yeah. Okay. I'd be like, see? I just sold your house for way more than it's worth. Every time I say that, they go, are you kidding me? And I'm like, you called me. I thought you wanted the house.
Man, yeah. It's a lot of work and to redo that backyard. That's a great backyard. I know, but you can't redo that.
It's funny because they call you, and I'm like, how many people are desperate to sell their house? Like, they just can't sell it, but it's not even on the market.
Yeah.
And then a person calls and says, I want to buy your house, but I want to buy it for 60% of the value it's worth. Because that's what they're hoping is they get a major discount on your house, and then they immediately do a couple things to it and then sell it for 40% more than they bought it for. And I'm like, what morons are doing this?
Choppy's looking to buy.
Yeah. Hard to sell.
Have you found any other good ones?
Trump's going to fix that, though. Somehow he can control the rates on homes, even though I don't think you have any control over that.
Yeah, the Fed's got to lower the rate. Right? Yeah. The Fed will lower the rate.
He said the Feds are going to lower the rate, but I'm like, you have nothing to do with it.
You just pressure the Fed.
Yeah, you pressure them, right? But we're looking. Politics. Always. But there's a lot of things out there, but I can't. No house don't sell in my neighborhood. It takes like 2 to 3 months. So I'm going to have to sell it and then be homeless, and then find a house. That's how it's going to have to work. And
Corey,
I don't want to move twice in 3 months.
What's coming up?
We do discuss Brian Schottenheimer right out of the gate, whether or not you're going to give him a chance. Mike asks all the football questions at 10:20. We hit the Mavs at 11. And at 12:20, a moderately deep dive on the Cowboys' free agency approach. Stephen Jones said they're going to take a long, hard look at it yesterday, so I went ahead and did it for him yesterday.
Don't forget about the G-Bag Nation today. Pepe, are you familiar with the Brass Tap? Is one of these? Isn't that a place that you've recommended to me in Rockwall?
Yes, it is, and that is the place that McKenzie and I went on our first date to. I'll be showing up after my nap today with the G-Bag Nation.
They're going to be serving Stella in buckets. I love Stella. And on draft, so that's Tuesday.
You can't get a bottle of it or just you have to drink a whole bucket of it?
Why don't you call and ask? Thanks for joining us.
Where is it? The Brass Tap?
Brass Tap.
In Rockwall.
In Rockwall. That's a long way from here. Might as well be driving to Massachusetts.
But your proximity is so small.
I don't think that.
Peyton drives it every day.
Yep.
Every day.
30 minutes, Mike. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, at 4 a.m. it is.
You're right. 35.
You drive it at 8 a.m. Well, that's an hour drive.
Would you rather drive,
What are you doing in Rockwall at 8 a.m., Mike?
Well, I'm just saying, like, we drive in traffic. We drive in morning traffic to get here. That's why you guys get paid way more than midday is because you have the morning drive.
Yeah.
So that's just a lot. It takes a lot longer to get places between, let's say, 6:30 a.m. and 9 a.m. than it does at 10 a.m.
Would you care to explain your tardiness?
Yes, I'm sorry. And I make this mistake every time. I was doing a hit with Portland Radio and they say... Is that what you guessed?
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Why do you have this allegiance to Portland? Who cares?
No offense. No, you're right.
Tell them to call Dawson.
They're really nice. Yeah. But I fall into this trap every time. They're like, hey, we'll call you at 9:30. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I can make that work. And then the phone rings at 9:36, and I'm like, oh, son of a gun. And so that's
perfect for a G-Bag. They're running on their clock.
That's my fault. I'm sorry. Are they
asking you about the Cowboys presser?
Yes.
Are the Cowboys like kind of Portland's team? What?
No, it's just the Cowboys are everybody's team. You know?
I know, but who's Portland's team? Is it the Seahawks?
Seahawks or Niners?
Yeah. Like, so like, why are you getting a guest on to talk about the Cowboys press conference?
I mean, all these, Kansas City will have us on, right? I was on Saskatchewan radio talking about the Cowboys.
You were?
Yes.
I went on Hawaii radio once and Seattle. So, all over the place.
Yeah, probably when they're about to face them.
No, it's all over the place.
When Hawaii is about to face the Cowboys.
They never matched up against Hawaii that year.
Well, you know what I mean, smartass.
Sorry, but you're right. You're right. My apologies.
All right. So, the biggest surprise for you of the press conference, positive or negative?
The biggest surprise was, I think, using air quotes for what is a factual thing. That was really infuriating. He was like, because he tries to make it seem like it's this thing, Steven, that is, that just fans talk about. It's not a thing that fans talk about. It is a fact. It's been 30 years going on this season since you've been in the conference championship game.
Could I argue that he wasn't trying to be dismissive of it as a fact, and he was just like, this is what people call it. The drought. I'm trying to come up with something.
You might be right. The reason why I don't think so is because we've had so many conversations where you get we were historic in the last 3 years before this last season. 36 wins. And he goes, I know, we need to have success in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, the way they describe that is like an afterthought.
Well, my counter to that is I feel like Steven, with you guys and with G-Bag, has been the realist between him and Jerry of, look, we know we've come up short.
Yeah.
He's given those real answers. Yeah. So it's so weird to have him be like, this drought, you guys like to call it. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, I hear you're saying. I think he classifies, I think the way they're trying to spin it is, hey, we got into the playoffs. That counts. Now, you don't count it because we didn't get far enough in the playoffs, but we were in the playoffs and that should count. And people should be happy.
I think they might think we don't give them near enough credit for the 36 wins over 3 years.
They would be right about that. I do not give them
much credit. Did you hear what Brian Broaddus said?
No.
They give it no credit, so why should we? If the Cowboys give it no credit,
how don't they give it credit?
They moved on from their coach.
They're like, it's not that big of a deal. Obviously, that's how Brian looks at it, and I think that's a good way to look at it. The Cowboys didn't respect it at all.
That's a good point.
Is there any chance the air quotes are just he's referencing something people have said? So he's like the quote from other people of this. I don't know, because it doesn't make sense. Yeah, exactly.
Like Joe, I'm sorry.
But then he did the quotes at another time, which is also weird. What was that for?
He did it during the marriage of continuity and change. And he went, the marriage of... I was like, what are you doing it for that?
That makes sense.
I'm just excited for the meme.
Laser.
Yeah. So don't you think Brian Schottenheimer would have been way better off with the people if he could have just done this press conference by himself?
Like Aaron Glenn?
Yes.
I mean, Choppy was infuriated this morning. He had his best gym session ever as he was listening to it in the gym, just pumping out more and more weight and rep.
Absolutely. Extra time in the sauna, just listening. Do you have conversations
with people in the sauna?
You know, they were having conversations yesterday, but they were from England, so I didn't understand what they were saying. And
it was damn English.
It's just the accents. I can't. I need subtitles.
I got you.
You know, it's a Cockney accent. I need subtitles.
You might not be
watching
Peaky Blinders.
Right.
Or
absolutely. If I'm in the mood for it,
you got to really focus.
But you know, you got to see the lips move.
I got you.
You know, I can't have one headphone in with Jerry and then one head. You know,
right.
So look, that's. To me, that's the problem right there in the nutshell. Like, who was on the podium next to Dan Campbell when he was given his thing?
Who was
next to Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
Why do they need to be up there? Like, this is not the Jerry and Steven show.
Because you're going to understand it the way they want you to understand it until they stop talking. Like, there were the very first question. Jerry told go ahead, Bobby.
No, I was just going to say, I will say that I understand what you're getting at, but if they would have put Schottenheimer up there without Jerry and Steven, they would have been accused of running from the hire.
Yeah,
but nobody else. That's Woody fair. Johnson isn't accused of running from anything
because he's not
Wilma
like,
Ford. That's, or whatever
you're right.
Her name
let's run
is.
Things like the Jets.
Is it Willa Ford? Willa? Not Willa Ford.
Because Woody's not getting criticized. Huh? Like Woody's not getting criticized for their hire.
No, but even if he was getting criticized, he wouldn't be there. Like it's a time and place, right? It's like you know what I mean? Like that's
yeah. I understand. I get your point, Bobby. There were two things that. I know press conferences are not always the place for specifics, but Jerry said in the last 5 years, he's made more, I can't remember, it was bold or dangerous choices or whatever.
Risky choices.
Risky choices than he has in the rest of his life. And I was like, tell me one. give me any semblance of one example, because I've heard that story about how nobody thought he should buy the Cowboys in 1989, like 50 million times. And then it was the same thing when they were like, oh, Mike McCarthy left some really good stuff. Oh, really good. Like what?
Bobby, let's end the show on a good note, okay?
A Mike McCarthy note?
Yep. Josina Anderson.
Yeah, we got five-time G-bag status last time.
Thanks to T. Rainey for sending this. Josina says, a league source tells me some of the questions surrounding McCarthy and the Saints have involved sentiments over the power structure and communication when it comes to football decisions, length of contract, similar to the situation in Dallas. Obviously, McCarthy is very tenured and accomplished. It's not hard to surmise where he'd likely expect due respect. Everything has its own weight and impact on talks. Adding that note for context towards what eventually happens in New Orleans. Okay, a lot of league perspectives have been given as to what Gail Benson, owner, should do when it comes to operations in her building in the future. Is this like a Mickey Loomis GM power struggle?
This sounds like Mike just wants control over everything, which he was not going to get here, and it doesn't sound like New Orleans wants to give him, and he's never done in his career. So, I mean, he's asking for something. He's asking teams to give him something he's never had in his career.
Yeah.
It seems like it's one of those, like, I'm going to get everything I want or I'm just going to go away and retire.
It feels like the RJ way.
I don't think RJ can go in there and say, give it to me now.
I want the least amount of responsibility that you could possibly give me.
The KMC Masterpiece is next. Tomorrow, another Jason Aldean ticket giveaway, and we'll chop it up. Also, a Meet Church Wednesday, KMC, next on The Fan. You got it.